All right, so you would be episode 185. All right.
Yeah.
15
yeah,
more to number. Go. 15 more to go.
15.
Good to go? All right, all right. Hello, hello, hello. This is the 185th episode of the Mental Threads podcast. I got my guest right here, Mr. Mental. On a cubicle, you got to speak right to the microphone just to make
sure. Gotcha,
Yeah. You can pretty much hear yourself, right?
Oh, yeah, I can't hear myself.
All right, dope.
Y'all didn't know what it is, man.
Yeah, dope.
Excited
dope.
To be here.
Yeah, Mental is an artist straight from York, South Carolina, currently residing in Charlotte, North Carolina. I met him at Charlotte Sparks. He's really tapped in with a lot of the artists that I've spoken with, artists like Solis, Hadix, and Queenie Love, and anything like that. So when coming from York, South Carolina to, like, Charlotte, were you kind of like, in a sense, more and more inspired, or like, you know, meeting all these different artists in one town and kind of just building rapport with them and everything?
I'd say that, like, it was definitely a lot of inspiration, but I saw it more as necessarily like getting wisdom, because a lot of these artists have been here for a while and they've been performing since they've been in high school. You know, a lot of people like Spaz and a lot of people like Rockstar have been doing this for a while. And I'm definitely inspired in the way that they are very driven. Like, DDA Tank is another person who's very, very driven.
Gotta get her on.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to.
And she is not a force to be reckoned with. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely a lot of energies like that I definitely do get inspired from. But like I said, you know, I speak with Solis a lot. I speak with Rockstar a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's really just trying to get as much knowledge as I can so that I can be where they're at.
Yeah, man, but I feel like you're a little bit too humble, though, for sure, because, like, you're a really dope artist as well. Like, I listen to your music, and you can be able to, like, do boom bop and everything, like MF Doom. Like, literally, we're listening to your songs in the car and went straight to, like, Nas, like,
right,
on the playlist. So it's just, like, that should be able to tell you and everything exactly, like, you know, like, really, like, how skilled you are as an artist. But also, outside of boom bop, you could really, like, go in with a more modern type take as well, which is, like, you know, you don't like to mess with that side and everything. Yeah, you want to go towards more like a boom bop. And everything. And what really pushed you to, like, want to go that direction of boom bop?
So I guess it was more so just me growing up. And because whenever I started music, like we were saying earlier, I started with poetry. And it was really just an outlet to sort of get my feelings and my thoughts out there. Because I didn't really feel like I had a lot of people to talk to. And there were a couple people missing from my life at the time. And so when I sort of started with that, I also got more so into instruments, which, of course, you know, they say as a kid, you can really tell what someone's going to do when they grow up because of the toys that they choose. And me, you know, I'd always be with the drum set. I'd always be with, like, the tambourine, stuff like that, the recorders. So I slowly started messing with, like, guitars and stuff, and a lot of the stuff I was doing was acoustic and, like, old soft rock hits. I would do, like, campfire music with my family and stuff like that. And then as I started to sort of move away from my family and just sort of become my own person, I really started to gravitate towards rap, which, of course, I grew up with all types of music around me, but it was really on more so of a hippie, Christian-based, rock sort of vibe.
And still pretty dope, though.
You know, grew up having to listen to rap censored, you know, like, it can't have any cuss words, can't talk about nothing weird, you know what I'm saying? So as I started to go more towards in that route, I also became rebellious.
Okay.
As teenagers typically do.
Yeah.
So I obviously started gravitating towards, you know, XXXTentacion, Ski Mask, Lil Uzi Vert, Gatsu, you know, rebellious teen energy, you know, you gotta stick with those. But
rest in peace to X.
Nah, for sure. For sure. Juice, Lil Peep, rest in peace, everybody who's became, you know, lost in the industry, but, you know, people influenced by them are keeping them alive, and I definitely respect that. I'm never one to trash anybody for what they choose to do or, like, the way that they choose to present their art. It's just in the way that I'm growing and the way that I am becoming as a person, I feel like that genre of music where I'm gravitating towards now is a better outlet to get that message out there. Because, you know, a lot of people choose graffiti. A lot of people choose to paint on canvases. A lot of people choose cooking.
Yeah.
You know, just to get their emotions out and to get their art out. And that's just more so where I see myself going back full circle to poetry.
He's a chef too, y'all. Just yeah, want to show yeah, he knows how to cook.
Got to.
We'll get
got
to that to. In a little bit. And everything.
Self-sustained.
Self-sustained, that's the word. Oh, yeah. But it's like, yeah, man, I feel like that's very interesting that you have so many different, sides to yourself and everything, you know, going, like, from that background and, like, gravitating more to hip-hop and even doing, like, being a chef as well. Yeah. But at the same token, it's just, like, you know, life in, like, York, South Carolina, how would you, like, you know, diverge, like, between, like, life in, like, York, South Carolina and Charlotte? Because I know you saw Charlotte is more like the place, like, to visit, and, like, now you actually moved down yeah. here. I mean, up here, like, in a sense. But it's yeah. just, like, yeah, like, well, how would you describe, like, the differences between living in York and here in Charlotte?
So, York, because a lot of people, whenever I tell them that I'm from York, they're like, where? And I'm like, Clover? They're
like New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
exactly.
everybody from New York moves down to Charlotte.
Exactly. And that's really the first initial reaction that I usually get. But then once they realize the area, it's kind of like, oh, okay, middle of nowhere. So, you know, I grew up, you know, in a very country small town, mm-hmm. very conservative, a lot of old white people around. And that was just my upbringing. That was, you know, the area that I was in. And here it's more so like, it's very diverse. Mm-hmm. You meet all walks of life, all people from everywhere in York. 9 times out of 10, if you run into someone, they're from York. Okay. You know, here it's like, you know, you might not know where they're from. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's definitely very diverse. And I kind of moved up here to like get away from certain things, mm-hmm. but it was kind of ignorant of me to think that that wouldn't follow. Mm-hmm. So, like, it doesn't really matter where you are. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be certain things that you're trying to run away from. They're just going to be there. Mm-hmm. So I definitely came up here for a better life for me and my fiance. But I would say that now it's just really just to be goal-driven. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really, when you live in the middle of nowhere, it's very easy to get stuck there.
Yeah.
I know people who, out of high school, just they choose that that's where they're going to be for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. They have a kid, you know, whether in high school or straight out of high school. They get married. They, you know, get hooked on all types of stuff. And I wasn't going to let myself be another victim of that.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to get out of there, man. I had to disconnect and just sort of get out of that energy, man.
No, I commend you for actually taking that step, though, because really just to step out of your hometown, bro, it takes a lot of courage.
It was a lot.
Yeah, because it's just like, you know, Charlotte's a really fast, well, it's not even a fast city compared to like a New York or a Miami, obviously, but it's like at the same token, like leaving from a place like York and then just coming here and everything, it's a very good way to like, you know, kind of introduce you to city life in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same token, it's just like, you know, there's still a whole lot of diversity of people like coming into the city as well. Right. And so it kind of leave from something more like, you know, more familiar like a York and then going to someplace, you know, different like Charlotte where there's so many different faces you're bound to meet, but still being pretty open despite your conservativeness that you probably were open to back then. You know, I feel like that takes a lot of courage and everything and time to just kind of change your surroundings to that degree.
Oh, yeah.
And so on. Because even I'm considering like just relocating to D.C. for a little bit, just to get my MBA and everything, you know, so it's just like just for a temporary bit and then just come back, you know, a bit better stronger for Charlotte and everything. Because, you know, growing up, it's just like growing up in Charlotte, I was just like, oh, I can't wait to leave. And it's like, yeah, like when I left Charlotte and went to Durham for college and everything, I feel like some of my biggest triumphs happened outside of the city. Exactly. But at the same token, it's just like, you know, at the same time, this is like my city. We're still like an underdog city. You know, we're still growing very rapidly, minor. But, you know, we have yet to win a championship in basketball and football. We tried with the football thing twice, and it didn't go the way how we wanted it to. But, you know, we still are still working to, like, that next big W for the city after losing CIAA and so on and so forth. So it's just like, you know, this is definitely, like, a place you want to really, you know, like, really find yourself in, you know, because we're still growing ourselves as well.
Yeah, and I think that's really what it was, is that I was so fed up and I was lost in it. You know, I was straight out of high school. I didn't go straight to work because I was actually engaged in high school.
Oh, dope.
To someone. Yeah. To an ex-fiance.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. So
ex-fiance is a word.
Yeah. So I was so stuck in it and I was so fed up and things with my family just started clashing and I was just like so ready to get out. I was like, what is a drastic change? Without being in the middle of the ocean without a paddle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I was like, come up here, you know, completely new scene, completely new lifestyle. You know, everyone's grinding up here. Everyone is doing their thing. Like,
and it's not too far. Like, you're just 40 minutes. So it's just like, exactly. Just a jug, you know, just a little, just put on a podcast and you're there.
Right. So if it didn't work, you know, I would be able to, you know, have that safety net, obviously, mm-hmm. because it can be very scary regardless of how fed up someone may be. It is definitely smart to weigh out those options.
Oh, yeah, sure. Most definitely. And it's just like, since you've moved here, would you say, like, what are some positives, some negatives coming to Charlotte?
I would say that definitely a lot of positives is that you're able to meet like-minded people. Mm-hmm. You are able to reach opportunities and ears. Listeners, you are able to build a fan base more so because I know a lot of people from small towns, they typically have a cult following, and it'll be a small amount of diehard people, but that's not really my aim. My aim is to sort of have a large following of people who just kind of mess with my, you know, my art and maybe even just my energy.
Yeah.
And then word of mouth, or maybe someone's listening to it, it comes on, maybe they don't change it. Yeah. You know, maybe they just decide to listen to it and see what's up.
Oh, yeah.
So, really,
you get
it's
a lot
just,
of that, bro. You mean it's dope, like, for real.
I appreciate it. I really do. I definitely take a lot of pride. And that's something I also had to step aside from, getting a little bit off topic. But I had to step away from being so personal with my art and realizing that everyone's doing the same shit. Like it's not, and not in the terms of like what they're doing, but like everyone's reaching the same goal. So it is never personal, never at all. But I would say that's also positive. I've been able to change and mature a lot because I also went from 23 to now 25.
Yeah.
And then in April, I'm going to be 26.
Yeah. So I'm turning 27 this month. life goes by fast. I'm like, dang, I got 3 more years of this 20 shit, and exactly. I got to figure shit out.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just like, especially in this generation, too, I feel like the odds are really stacked up against us a whole lot, you know. So for you to, like, kind of stay on your own in a whole other city and make that work, like, I still commend you and everything, because it's just like, it's difficult to really just find your footing. Like, I just left the job and everything, and I've been working since, like, April of last year and everything, and, like, corporate, it's okay, but it's just like, you know, when you realize it just asks so much out of you and everything, and it's just like, you know, this ain't even the stuff I really wanted to do, like, type stuff, you know, and like, you know, I'm trying to do it just for the pay, and then it's just like, you know, you get lost, and it's just like, then you don't meet certain, you know, qualities, then you're putting so much into it just to match that, and it's like, bro, that's not even me, bro.
Exactly.
Like, you know, just like, it's just one of those things, but, you know, it's just a matter of like, I feel like a lot of us have to kind of make compromises with a lot and everything to try to fit in into a system that's not even really benefiting us, like, at all. Like, we're not giving no help at all and everything. So it's like, you know, yeah, I get it for sure.
Corporate ladder.
Yeah, corporate
capitalism.
Ladder.
Yeah. Capitalism. But nah, yeah, we get stuck in feeding into it because of our necessity to live.
Yeah.
And so, I, you know, being at Amazon, I definitely understand what you're saying. It's very easy to get caught up in, you know, oh, I have to appease my boss because, but I really don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And then it's a repetition. It's like, bro, I don't want to be here. Like,
yeah. It's just like, you know, and then trying to find balance off that and just focus on like your art and everything and trying to build a fan base as well. You know, it could be rather difficult and everything, but, you know, I feel like nothing that's worth anything is gained easily.
Exactly.
So it's just like, even with this whole podcast thing, like, I'm 180 some episodes deep right now, and I only got like 50 subscribers, but I still see that as a W and everything, because it's like, I just started this whole YouTube thing like literally last year, and like, I wasn't doing YouTube, I was just doing like the regular podcast Spotify thing, and like, I was just kind of okay with that. But at the same time, you want to do something different every time, because if you don't do something different and then you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, it just becomes dull.
Right,
and everything.
Right.
So it's just like, I'm glad I was able to find, like, you know, a studio to work in. And also just like, you know, to actually kind of build like a sense of like a routine with it as well. Yeah. As well as like, you know, the positives of connecting with new people, because I love to meet new people. And like, now we're like, you know, 180 episodes deep. And like, you've enjoyed the episodes as well, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. I've seen, like you said, a couple of people that I know within the community, like Solace and Spaz and Queenie Love, a lot of those people, Hadix, who have been on this podcast. And I saw a couple of your episodes had like 100 views. And I'm like, I remember when I was releasing music on Discord and like to my little chat group, and I would get like 100, 150 on a song. Mm-hmm. And that was like just the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah. It's like you think like it's not a big number and everything, but it's really a big number because that's like 50 people saying like, bro, I got to watch that next episode. That exactly. comes out. And they're getting a notification off of it.
Exactly.
And you're not even like, and I'm not even like pushing it out there like that. I'm just kind of building the content like right now, like so before I really like, you know, start pushing out reels and everything and stuff like that. And that's when things will really, really take off. So it's just like, you know, but even on that note, like I can be able to look back like, wow, I really been consistent with this stuff for like a while
for sure and everything for sure. Dedication
and then speaking with all types of people, so it's just like it's just stuff like that, and then I hear like music like yours and stuff like wow, this is really dope and so on and everything, and it's just like for you to even like reinforce boom bop in a time where people don't even like try to push like that, because a lot of people like to talk about sex rap, drugs and everything and just gang banging, and after a while it just kind of gets played out because it's like, you know, you start to feel like okay, like this is there's like a certain like there's an agenda being pushed, but now it's being pushed to such a degree where it's obvious. And it's like, what are your thoughts on that? Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, it's almost as if it's weird if an artist, like, so when an artist, like, I know Lil Durk and I think maybe NBA Youngboy at one point or
King
something
Von
like that. Yeah. They would make a song that would be in more of a positive manner, and then it would absolutely blow up. And it's like, it's because it's so oversaturated with the negativity, and it's so oversaturated. Like I said, I would never judge anyone for the music that they make.
Personally.
But especially when the people at the top of these industries are trying to push a sort of, like you said, agenda onto impressionable young people and even people who may not be considered young, like 30, 40, just people listening to the music. And it's obvious that people crave something different. But that's not what they're pushing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't really care about the money at the end of the day. Yes, I do want to build a career off of this. Yes, I do want to be able to be self-sustained with this music.
Yeah, be comfortable. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Something that you like to do, yeah.
Exactly. And even if I don't end up, you know, as big as like Lil Nas X, Doja Cat, whatever the case may be, I honestly don't care. As long as I'm able to pay my rent, pay my bills off of my music, I see that as a success.
Yes, so, and then you can focus on the bigger things.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would rather just be authentic and speak about the things that I think really matter. And also have fun with it, because I do make a couple songs where I'm not necessarily trying to be woke or I'm not trying to, you know, bring attention to something. But I do feel as if the ones that I want to focus on are going to be bringing attention to something and are going to be shoving something in someone's face that they may not be comfortable with. And that's just what it is, man. You gotta step outside your comfort zone sometimes.
Yeah, and that's what hip hop was founded on and everything. They're actually like, even though, well, yeah, they're making parties and everything like that, but they'll also make songs like where they're actually going on what was actually going on, like for the blue collar people and like people who couldn't find employment, you know, in the 80s and stuff of that nature. And then it's just like just kind of have the struggles with that and everything. And a lot of that resonated with people, like, oh wow, I'm going through the same thing and everything. And just think of like how like excess and toxic, you know, yeah, it could be like on some rage type stuff and everything, and then next would be actually be able to harmonize on another song, you know. So it's like that's so many different emotions that people are, you know, relating to.
Right.
And like even with Lil Peep and everything, speaking on his, like I don't listen to a whole lot of Lil Peep song, but even like speaking about like, you know, like what he had to go through and everything, and then his sounds that resonate with a bunch of different people as well. I feel like those become timeless and everything. And then it's just like, you know, a lot of these like music that comes out is just more like it's like fast food. Like type rap and everything. And like, you know, I'll fuck with like McDonald's every day once in a while, but it's like you don't savor it to such a degree.
Right.
Like, oh man, that McDonald's I had like 2 weeks ago, it was like the best thing ever.
Exactly.
And it's just like, you know, it's just some stuff to just sustain you just for a little bit. But the things that really carry you, you know, it motivates you. Like, you know, I feel like that's where it's just like you hear about artists like, you know, okay, we got Drake, we got like J. Cole and like Kendrick Lamar. Those are like obviously the top three and everything. But it's just like even with artists like, you know, like Russ, who are like, you know, independent and everything, he has a strong fan base that like supports him and everything, and he's not like, you know, talking about like sex violence and all that types of stuff. And it's just like even with Drake, like J. Cole and like Kendrick, like Kendrick obviously speaks about like, you know, a lot of things that goes in the system and society and everything, and Drake, you know, talks more like about heartfelt things and everything, and that resonates with people, and J. Cole kind of speaks for like the everyday man and stuff like that. Those things resonate, and they're like the top of their game. But now it's getting to the point where it's like I feel like we're at a transitional period where it's like, you know, there's going to be like a vacuum because, you know, a lot of them reaching their 40s now. So, like, a lot of them going to start stepping down and, you know, kind of removing themselves from that, you know, from like the whole music. They might still be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, you know, like there's going to be like a vacuum. And I feel like that's where the Charlotte, the city of Charlotte can really, like, you know, kind of fill in that gap and everything. That's exactly. An opportunity to kind of like, okay, like there's some artists here to kind of check out too.
Right. Exactly. So like, exactly. Yeah. And it's not as uncommon as you may think for people to rap like that, because it just goes to show how oversaturated things are. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of the people who are winning competitions around here, and that's a lot mm-hmm. of the people who are, you know, winning these open mics like Training Day and Who Got a Banger whenever they were around. I don't know about Who Got a Banger, but I know Training Day, I think, was canceled again.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, but that's actually where I got my start. That was my first ever performance.
Oh,
here.
Dope.
Yeah, ever doing music. That was my first time I'd ever gotten in front of anybody and mm-hmm. did my music. Before that, it was only listening to what I had recorded. Like, mm-hmm. oh, here's the finished product. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people around here are very lyrical,
yeah,
and have a lot of shit to talk about.
Yes,
but it's just like we said, you know, a lot of people are getting pushed to the top that mm-hmm. are doing the drugs and the women and the, you know, parties and whatever.
Yeah, and you think like Future and Dirk and everything, but yeah. You know, you're seeing like, you know, now it's like it's starting to affect them now, like especially like Young Thug, which I'm glad he's out of jail and everything now.
Yeah.
But it's like he was in prison for a minute over the RICO case. No, Dirk is now about to go to prison over exactly. like some stuff like that. And then it's just like it just goes on and on. It becomes like this ongoing cycle and stuff exactly. like that. While people like Cole and Kendrick and everything are just they're just focused on the art and everything. Yep. And then it's just like that carries on a little bit further.
Tyler, so the Creator.
Yeah, Tyler, the Creator, especially.
Killer.
You know, and it's like he had to do a lot of growth as well yeah. and everything. Now he's like Grammy certified. You would have never thought that when he first came out
exactly.
and everything. But it's really just people who are willing to try new things and be different and be themselves authentically. That's what served him a lot more than a lot of the people that was, you know, out at that time. Like, just think about all the people who were out at that time. Where the hell are they? And like, he even spoke about it too when they interviewed him. It's just like, yeah, that's just something to consider. The more authentic you are, the more, like, you know, grounded you are as an artist and willing to change and grow as you need to be and teach yourself a couple things, that's what's going to carry you further. So it's just like, even bounce about off of that, like, what was your experience like when you were first performing for Training Day?
So first performance, I went with Rockstar VR. Mm. Shout out to him. He got me in my first studio. He got me in my first performance. He really gave me the connections I needed. So I pull up and I meet a couple people. I meet obviously CEO, the I guess host or owner mm-hmm. of Training Day. Met Trap Sid. Mm. Met I think Stack Raps.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's killer, dude. He's met Scar. R.I.P. R.I.P. Scar.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Scar, yeah. Yeah, he recently passed away, like, yeah. like a couple weeks ago, right? Yeah. I didn't know the guy, but I saw that he passed away, and a lot of people really messed with him. So, like, dang, I'm sad I didn't get to meet him and everything.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And that's really the thing, is I wasn't really close with him, but it was definitely a hard hit because it is so close mm-hmm. To home. But, yeah, I stepped in. They all went. I was kind of getting nervous, you know. May have had a few too many drinks, you know. Okay. Got some, they had a taco truck, mm-hmm. so I went and got some tacos, and then I'm eating my taco, and I got, like, half a taco in my mouth, like, I just bit it,
uh-huh.
and then,
they just called you up.
Yeah, and then I hear a Rockstar, he taps me on the shoulder, he said, that's you,
oh.
they just called you, I'm like, what? I'm like, putting it down, I'm like, wiping it off my hands, and then I go up, and I do, It's a song called Mob Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's out anymore, but it was on some more aggressive screaming stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they really fucked with it.
Yeah,
and that was really surprising to me because, you know, coming from such a small town and coming from almost no gratification for what you do, it was like being seen for the first time.
Oh,
and,
really?
And it was definitely a very touching moment. Mm-hmm. It was very emotional, mm-hmm. but I loved it. Like a lot of my like pictures and stuff that I use to promote or like I use as profile pics came from that. So it's like a lot of videos too. Like I know in one video I was watching it back and then Congo,
mm-hmm.
another very talented artist, mm-hmm. likes to speak up about a lot of shit. She was screaming in the background, like, while I was rapping. And then you got Scar doing, like, hey, yeah, and, like, all this other stuff. And, like, people, like, headbanging around me. I'm like, this is it. Like, this is, this may not, this may be just another Tuesday night to them. But this is, like, the start.
Yeah. And everything. Do you have any recollection as to why they stopped with the whole Training Day stuff? It's just, like, people were just being unprofessional. I know I heard a couple things, like what Dabadon said and everything.
I think not to get too much into it, but I think that it was more so just repetitive. I think that the same people were pulling up, and it was getting a lot less
diverse.
From what I experienced going there, it was a lot less diverse in the music, especially in the winners.
Okay.
And then people just stopped going. Like, the crowds got smaller, and people wouldn't stick to the end because they already knew who was going to win.
Oh, okay.
And that's really more so what the case was.
Okay, and what are some things you feel like that could have, like, happened differently to kind of keep Training Day here? Like, maybe probably more artists need to take their time to actually, like, pull up to Training Day to kind of just, like, you know, give that opportunity and everything to just perform and stuff. I have yet to perform a song. I dropped my first tape back in 2021. I never performed a song yet.
Yeah, we got to get that going,
man. We got to get that going.
Hey, y'all hit that like button. You want him to perform. Come on now. Nah, but I think really, it's really, like, minimal critique. I think that just a lot of people try to be something. Because they think that's what people want. But what people want is authenticity.
Yeah.
That's what people want. People True. Want authenticity and listen to people. Listen to people when they say something instead of taking it as critique and immediately becoming offended.
Taking it as, like, you know, just hating.
Arrogance. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, because I understand, like, people just probably have issues and telling the difference between, like, constructive criticism and just, like, whether they're hating on you and whatnot. And it's just, like, I definitely know the difference, like, you know, like, because at a very young, like, what the difference between, like, people who critique it, like, because, like, when they're critiquing you, it'd be like, oh, yeah, you need to work on your breathing control and everything, you know, maybe just, like, you know, kind of give your toes down to, like, you know, just chill out, just maybe talk about different matters. Add a couple more things, you know, stuff like that. That's more constructive because they're actually looking into the art and critiquing the art.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, there are people who straight up hate it, just like, oh, you know, like, this is nursery rhyme rap. This ain't nothing. And they don't even listen to the whole thing or actually, like, even, like, really check it out or anything of that nature. Or probably just hate on a piece of it before, like, really, you know, digesting the whole product. So it's just, like, I understand because there's a lot of people in Charlotte who like to act like know-it-alls and everything and act like they know shit when they really don't know shit. Yeah. And then they'll just start hating them. They'll be like people that just support them. But they never have a voice, like, for long. Like, it just, like, it just be, like, a YouTube comment. I think you, like, say, like, oh, yeah, that's funny. And then, you know, you scroll past and then you forget about it. They're forgettable and everything. But the people who actually put in the work, actually put the art in, they're unforgettable. So it's, like, just one of those things where it's, like, you just kind of have to take both and everything and just really, like, just, like, which is which, and then just listen to what's what, but actually take it in. It's like to consider the following, like, okay, there might be truth in it, but it's like it's not the be all end all type stuff,
right? Exactly, because a lot of people think that their way is the only way, and they sort of get caught up in pride. I think that pride is the death of art. Pride is the death of art, and it is okay to talk your shit. It is okay to know that you are the shit. But it is also okay to change. Don't be so afraid of change. Like, change is so beautiful. Like, if nothing, we're seeing what happens when you don't change.
Yeah.
I mean, if not in your daily life, in politics and in, you know, human decency and the way that people treat people, change is always beautiful.
Yeah.
It may be for the worse, it may be for the best, but it's like if we never change, shit doesn't get done, dude. Yeah. Like, and that's why people end up getting shut down. That's why people end up quitting music.
Yeah.
That's why people give up on their dreams because they're so caught up in thinking that they are right.
And just doing the same thing over and over without trying something different. That's why, like, I spoke with Oreo the Sage yesterday. And, like, you know, you listen to Oreo the Sage's music. He does all types of stuff. It's not just one thing. And I even told, like, bro, that's going to carry you a lot further because it's just, like, you know, like, yeah, people might be want focus on one type of genre in 1 year and everything. And they might be into something completely different another year. But then it's, like, even if you do something different or, like, you do something, like, with the times of 1 year, it might become nostalgic in a couple years. They might swing past that and like a couple years, like the sample or things like that. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's right. always going to have life to a certain degree. And that's like, you know, I feel that's going to carry up on with him because he wanted to get more into Afro beats and everything. And just for telling me just that, I'm African. Like, you know, I might know a couple of Afro beats artists as well that you can check in with, but also even beyond Afro beats, because everything has like, you know, like everything originates from something. Yeah. And then it's just like, you know, with like rap, they always sample stuff like the blues and things like that, like yeah. that. So I told him about like, you know, there's like a playlist, and Gucci Ron was even in the background, like,
hell yeah.
I told him about like literally like, you know, this is like stuff that we play at cookouts and stuff like that, like African yeah. music, like, you know, like Zuku's type stuff and everything. And you know, it's like stuff like from the 80s and 90s. He could also check in with to kind of like gain a like a bit of the feeling. He might not understand none of the words,
but it's just
stuff like that. I even sent him links to a couple artists to check in with as well, and just off the jump, I just helped him like that, you know. Just like, you're always, there's always going to be people that are going to willing like to see you grow and help as well, you know. You know, because I got a passion for music as well, so right. like I like helping artists, and I like talking with y'all and everything as well, because I'm an artist as well. So it's just like, you know, like even being an artist, I can understand when people don't want to help you or don't want to support or just how to try to gatekeep, and like there's a lot of that going on in Charlotte. So for you to not kind of like get that feeling from that and actually get that little support from, like, you know, Training Day and everything, to kind of, it means a whole lot to you and everything. It really just says a lot. Like, just a little bit of support, just a yeah. little bit of help, yeah. just a little bit of some subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly. Could also exactly. help as well, exactly. You know? Guilty, sorry.
No, please subscribe, y'all.
Yeah, please, please. But yeah. Support the homies. Yeah, Oreo, Gucci Ron, you know, mm-hmm. those are cool people.
Coming on later today as well.
For sure, for sure. Gotta check that out, because, like, anytime I pull up to B Cinema, mm-hmm. anytime, you know, Toro does great things over there at B Cinema, Passion Project, you know, they're doing great things right now. Anytime I pull up, those two dudes are there, mm-hmm. just cutting up, man. And I love it. They have great energy. I've been doing some work with Oreo. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to do some work with Gucci as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's just... I'm really excited to see what they got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it's just like, I just like how we're all just becoming very familiar with each other to a degree where it's like I'll see people at Charlotte Spark and I'm like, wow, I met so many people and I've spoken to so many people before. Yep. And like, we're just all just chilling now. Like, it's like exactly. a crossover episode type stuff that we all just see each other around and everything. You might pull up at another event. Like, I was just at Audio Box Studios the other day before it got shut up and everything. Right. That's where I saw Gucci Ron again and everything. And like, for the first, I don't know, like a while and everything. Then, well, it was good, man. And he instantly remembered me, and I remembered him. We were just talking and stuff like that. It instantly made me feel comfortable because I didn't go to that was my first time being an Audio Box and everything.
Is it
and
nice?
Yeah. No, it's really nice. Yeah, it's really, really dope. It's like, it's really in the cut and everything. Yeah. I didn't even realize it was like right there. So, but it's like, yeah, I just kind of stepped inside there. Like, it was just really, really packed. Everybody was just like around supporting all types of artists and everything. And I just feel like, man, if we just keep this going for like a while and everything, we could really make something happen. If we just keep working with each other and so on and so forth. So
sharing of the minds. I'm all for that. I love it. I would never ever, you know, hide my wisdom from somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, I may subtract a little bit mm-hmm. because of how they react to it, but it's at the end of the day, it's really just how much they want to hear.
Yeah, you know? just it's like, you know, just got a little bit of cappuccino there. They can't give them the espresso automatically. Exactly. They can't go too strong.
Exactly. Like, and everything. I think this. And then it's like how they react to that. I'm like, I'll either be like, or I'll be like, okay, mm-hmm. all right. So I'll never hide my wisdom from anybody, mm-hmm. but I also won't give it to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's really something that I live by.
Yeah, that's definitely a word for sure. But it, just going into like your hobbies and stuff like that, I know you're also a chef and everything. What are some other things that you like to do?
So I was really into painting and graffiti for a little bit, but you know, not really much anymore. It was more so just something I had picked up. Mm-hmm. I'm really into games. Okay. I play a lot of, like, something I'm really into right now is, like, Skate 3.
Oh,
and
nice.
Rocket League and Apex and stuff like that, you know, whatever.
My brother loves skate games.
Skate 3 is, like, amazing. All the skate games are great. I love, the way the mechanics work and everything like that mm-hmm. on the controller is insane.
Didn't they do a remake of, like, one of the Tony Hawk games and everything? They put it on next gen, like, 40 on PlayStation 4 and stuff like that. And
I can't remember.
Yeah, I need to look into that because I think they did make a remake.
They might have, yeah. But really, other than that, you know, music is truly, I'm obsessed with music. Like, I love music. And if I'm not, I would say maybe like art Mm-hmm. I like looking at art. Uh-huh. And it just anything artistic. Like, my fiance is in cosmetology college.
Okay.
So, you know, even body art mm-hmm. and stuff like that. They do digital art. Mm-hmm. So, definitely a lot of my hobbies recently is just work mm-hmm. and then more work. You know, just as soon as I get home, it's right back to work. And yeah. whenever I am home, I'm doing music.
Yeah, all
right. So I'm really just trying to hone in on what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. But whenever I need a break, definitely cooking. You uh-huh. know, to make something, it's just another form of art. Because, yeah. I mean, to make something and then become satisfied by it because yeah. you're sitting here eating it and you yeah. get to enjoy the fruits of your labor, it's like, and it's good. Yeah. It's like, oh, come on now. Like, that's really just my main thing.
Yeah, I know you say you like to make a dumplings, a sushi, yep. and a macaroni and cheese and everything. Oh, yeah. What are some other things you like to make?
Definitely a whole bunch of Southern-centered cooking, you know. Mm. Like, I make a lot of fried chicken, collard greens. Mm. I make, like you said, mac and cheese. I might do, like, a chicken pot pie or, like, a beef stew.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, steak, all that. Roasted vegetables, anything.
Would you consider making, like, your starting your own restaurant as well?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
No, that's right.
I think music is really where my passion lies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, maybe retirement type stuff. Like, maybe your 40s, 50s. That's maybe. Yeah, that's maybe. What I mean.
I know, like, Eminem has like a...
Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So maybe something like that. Like if I make a song like Chicken and Gravy or something like that. You know, I might do, like, a little chicken yeah. spot. But other than that, you know, my passion is in music, and the cooking is really just... for my loving fiance, that's, you know, to enjoy.
Yeah, but also, like, even, like, with stuff like cooking, there's a whole lot of cultural elements that come with it that you could pass down for generations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll be thinking, like, because, like, one of my resolutions this year is really just to keep updating my family tree and everything, which I haven't done in a while and stuff like that, because I want to be able to just be able to document everybody that's connected and everything in my family tree. But also, as well, it's good to, like, keep things like cookbooks and everything just to kind of reference maybe in a couple generations. Like, oh, wow, my great-great-grandfather used to make stuff like this and stuff like that. Right. And, you know, my mom makes a lot of, like, wonderful foods that, like, people never even heard of, like peanut butter garlic chicken. Like, you tell people that, it's like, what? Peanut butter garlic wow. chicken? No, it tastes amazing, bro.
Yeah.
It's a little bit greasy, but it's good.
Yeah, I've heard of, like, peanut butter, like, chicken, like, peanut butter curry or something like that. Yeah. I've heard of that, but, like... I'm interested.
Peanut butter. Yeah, now
it sounds like it's pretty good. Yeah yeah, yeah,
yeah, sure. Like, one day if she makes it, I'll be sure to just let her know. I gotta let Mental try this stuff.
For sure.
I know you want to try other multicultural stuff. Like, I know you had like some Dominican oxtails and everything. Oh, yeah. And I like that experience. Like, which compare food do you want? Do you want to do the one right up the street, like, from
South Boulevard?
On South Boulevard.
South Boulevard. They do 50-cent tacos on Wednesdays.
Oh, really?
I think it's Wednesdays. It might be Tuesdays. That would make more sense. But uh-huh. I think on Wednesdays. They do, like, some kind of $5 or 5-cent tacos type thing.
Yeah, I need to swing. I used to work at Compare Food. That was my first job and everything because they got one right up the street and everything where I stay at and stuff like that. That was weird.
Oh, yeah,
but they really had a really good restaurant, which I need to swing by and try again, you know, just for the nostalgic side of it and everything. But it's really, really good.
I would say it's good quality for the price.
Yeah good for quality sure. for the price. This is like really home-cooked meals, too, and everything. Oh, yeah. Especially when I want to stay from all the fast food type stuff and everything. You know,
exactly.
It's good that we just go like a home-cooked type meal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And rice and beans.
Right. And I definitely understand, like, wanting to, like, sort of build a family tree and stay updated with it and pass down certain things. Growing up, I definitely had my fair share of that. Mm-hmm. Like, my very Southern Christian family on my dad's side mm-hmm. had a couple, like, pamphlet, like, mm-hmm. church cookbooks that they would keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom obviously had some recipes that I would want to carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my grandmother on my mom's side made her own pickles.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and they lived right across the street. And she was also German.
Oh.
Like, very thick German, like, escaped World War II bunkers, like, German hardcore. So she made, like, the best food in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, I can't get those recipes because she passed away due to COVID.
Yeah.
But
my
definitely.
Condolences and my condolences.
Right, of course, thank you.
Fuck COVID.
Nah, for sure. Anyone who thinks that's just fake, you are stupid, bro. I'm telling you, that shit is real as fuck.
Yeah.
But, and it's still around. A lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely, I've been trying to reconnect with sort of my roots in a more positive manner, because I do look at my roots in a more negative manner, especially now that I have cut off my entire family. I still have discussions with my father and my mom when I can. But I would say that's sort of where you and me might have a visual difference or a relative difference, because while I completely support passing down, you know, generations of recipes and stuff like that, I think that I'm going to be the start of my family tree. Just like in a spiritual sense, obviously not in a physical sense, but like replacing my last name, completely rejuvenating who I am and what I want to carry on.
Okay, and what are you trying to, what are you considering, like, for a new surname and everything? You trying to take something more common or just something, like, different and, like, to you?
Just something that, like, because me and my fiance, when we get married, we want to kind of meld our two names together.
Oh, okay.
So it's still going to be there, because you can never forget who you were.
Yes.
You can never forget where you came from, because, like I said, change is how we grow.
Okay.
So I definitely am not trying to erase where I came from.
Oh, no. Just want to keep, like, things like medical history and stuff like that. You know, it's just like, but yeah, just if you want to be, it's nothing wrong with trying to start anew and trying to set your family to a completely different direction.
Yeah, it's more spiritual. Yeah. It's not at all, you know, I'm not trying to run away from who I was.
Yeah.
I'm accepting that that's not what I am anymore.
That's fine. That is just fine. That is just fine. And it takes a lot of courage to go that way as well, you know, because, like, just sticking stuff to, like, stuff that you're more used to and then trying to do something different. I never met anybody trying to, like, meld a surname together to make something new because, you know, a last name just could be anything, you know, type stuff. And people can just pick a word. It's like, okay, I like pickles. My last name's pickles.
And that's really the thing, is I did think about that. But I still want to be me. I still want to be that little boy growing up in the middle of York County, you know, I still want to be that, because that's still who I was. And so we were just sitting down one night after dinner, and I was like, they were like, so are you going to get my name, or am I going to get, like, what's up? And I was like, I don't want my fucking name. I was like, I do not want my last name, but I also don't want your family's last name.
Yeah, just mix it together.
Yeah, exactly. We were both kind of feeling the same way when it came to that.
Yeah.
And so we were like, why not just make our own?
Yeah.
Like, just mix it.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty dope.
Yeah,
that's actually pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
And everything, you know, it's just like, you know, and then just to know that it just came down to you want to change it. People change their last names all the time. I think, like, even with Donald Trump's family, I think the original surname was actually Drumpf and everything.
Wow.
Like, yeah, Drumpf and everything, you know,
that's
just like, yeah. Cause, like, yeah, he's from, his grandfather straight out of Germany type stuff.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And his, Donald Trump's grandfather actually, when he first came, he started in the Wild West and everything, where he ran a brothel and everything like that. So it's just, he went from brothel to his son doing, like, real estate, and then now his grandson becoming president of the United States.
Right,
type stuff. So it's just like, you know, just kind of, it really kind of gives that inclination. That's the beautiful thing about America. It's like, you know, things can really change for your family generations on. If you want to be that change, you know, you can be able to steer that change to whatever direction you want, you see fit and everything. So
breaking generational chains.
Generational curses.
Yeah, exactly.
Just say screw that.
Exactly. That's my whole goal. And, you know, there's even a dude who changed his name into Batman Superman.
I don't know if you heard about that, but I think I heard something about it.
I mean, damn, dude, they don't get more, like, food than that. Like, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you changed your name to two fictional superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, well, my name, my real government name is T. Dolake Sefili and everything.
Damn.
So it's like, you know, it's just like, you know, my name, like, the name T actually means black in my native language, and I didn't even realize it. And then, like, Dolake, like, you know, like, for Liberian culture, they always give you, like, a surname that actually, like, has, like a super, super meaning and everything.
Yeah.
I was named after my father's favorite uncle, his uncle Dolake, and that's where the middle name comes from. You know, like, Dolake in my native language means one can't make it alone, or togetherness is key to progress, basically. So it's like, they got all that shit from, like, a word. I don't know.
I'm straight out the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, Jacob. That's my name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and then my dad's name was David, and then I think his dad before him was David, so my dad is actually a junior. But Yeah, a lot of biblical names in my family.
Oh, okay, that's dope.
That's awesome. That's a beautiful.
You
want
to keep it going and just go like next one like Abraham or like Moses?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
I don't want to say too much, but just because I'm very, you know, I don't like to speak about things that haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
But I definitely am going in a more powerful. Like, okay. I want the name to be powerful. And I want it, whether it comes from biblical, whether it comes from spiritual, mm-hmm. whether it comes from whatever it may come from,
yeah.
I just want it to be powerful.
And Solomon, be right beautiful. There.
Nah, I don't know about that, but like maybe like an archangel or something
okay.
like that.
Just, okay.
Yeah, something that. Powerful.
Okay, that's dope. And even my last name, Sefili, that's actually two words actually put together. See, Se is what you would name like your firstborn son and everything. You know,
are you firstborn?
I'm firstborn. Okay. But it's like, you know, like, you know, it's just like, it's like a common name and every, like, Adam.
So
it's just like, Johnson. Say. And then Feely is just like the morning dew in the grass and everything. So it's just like, you know, so like, it's just because my father's side, like, you know, there were hunters and everything. My grandfather was a hunter. So it's like, they'll wake up really, really early. That's the first thing they see is like the morning dew on the grass. So it kind of makes it like from left to right, it's like black, key to progress. Is togetherness progress? No, black
togetherness.
Togetherness is key to progress. Firstborn son of the morning dew. So it's like left to right. That's basically
dude,
what it means.
That's, that's beautiful, bro. Damn.
Yeah, they really.
No, but that's beautiful though. That's,
yeah,
I love that.
But it's just like yeah, there's a whole lot of emphasis when it comes to names and everything. There's like you know like putting words. Your words are very powerful. Like when you speak them into existence and everything.
Yeah,
so it's like for you to even pick the rap name like Mental and like what really gave you that direction of choosing Mental because you think like logic and everything.
Yeah,
like what stood out to you about the word Mental?
So Mental was really just. When it first originated, so my first ever artist name was Tear Dreams
Tear
with
Dreams.
A Z.
Okay.
And I was just really, really emo. I was really emo.
Who was
straight out of, yeah, straight out of high school. I was really, really emo. My actual first ever music endeavor was being in a screamo band.
Oh, okay.
Was being in a metal band in middle school.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was the lead vocalist. I was doing all the screams and stuff. I recently stopped, but...
The vocal cords need to rest.
Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, man, we're
exactly.
going through it.
Exactly. And a lot of my early rap music is actually very aggressive and screaming. And, you know, I think my first song on SoundCloud was actually a black metal song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely I'm very diverse in the music that I try to do. But, yeah, I would say that, like, the name itself, Mental, was just... the change that I wanted to invoke within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely like, there was some edginess to it, you know, like I was like, damn, this music's mental. Like it's crazy. Like I'm going mental, like that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of, I guess a mental break. Like I was breaking mm-hmm. mentally. And so I wanted it to be unique as well. And so I just took my inspiration from the SoundCloud, you know, era and stuff like that. X was very important to me. Mm-hmm. And when choosing my next name, I actually considered him too because mm-hmm. you know his word his name is Latin and I believe
for temptation
for temptation and that's something that I really wanted to go towards so I went with Mental and then I was gonna change it again during like after I went to training day and stuff I was like this is corny it don't sound right and then I grew up and I grew out of the aggression
mm-hmm.
and I started being mad about other things.
Mm-hmm.
Otherworldly things. I stopped being mad at just my immediate existence
mm-hmm.
and started being mad at the overall existence.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back. I was mm-hmm. like, this is perfect. Like, this is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. And I'm not going to run away from it.
Oh, yeah, like, rap names are like, weird like that, because it's just, like, you could always change them and everything, you know, it's just, like, but at the same token, it's just choosing, like, Mental, it's, like, it really kind of helps, like, kind of lock in with who you are as a person and everything, you know.
Ooh.
Ice Cube, he was, like, you know, cold and everything, so
exactly.
Even though he's from the West Coast, and it was warm out there, but it's just, like, you know, people take more cold or ice type, you know, type, like, Ice Tea, Ice Cube,
right.
And so on and so forth. choose that way just to kind of invoke, you know, that coldness and everything and how cool they're trying to be. And it just felt like 50 Cent, you know, naming himself after like a gangster and that was named 50 Cent. And then just like just kind of just trying to try to rise up from poverty into like where he is, like to the point where he like owns studios now and like vitamin water, you know. So it's just like it's just stuff like that. So like in your music, do you speak about mental health by any chance or maybe brush on it? Yeah, so just stuff like that, you know, like people pretty much know what they're getting into. You look into the Mental Threads podcast right here.
Yeah, for sure. I saw that. I was like, branding on point. Got branding on point. Yeah, but I would definitely say that, like, I definitely make food for the mind. So I definitely think that mental stuck. I think that it's something that, like, I want to get people thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever people put on music, they want something to play in the background. Yeah. And that's completely understandable. Yeah. But that's not me. I'm not going to be always easy to digest, like you said earlier. I'm not always going to be looking to please the top Billboard 50 or whatever it may be. Yeah, exactly.
Because all that stuff changes all the time anyway.
Exactly. So it's all irrelevant to me. It's all about music.
Yeah, and like building a fan base is more important anyway, because those are the people who's going to stick out and actually drive like 100 miles to reach out to your shows and everything. And it's just like, you know, it's just for things like that. Like, I know, like, when I used to work for PNC, it was like, you know, like just parking cars for concerts and everything. They'll let you go in and try to see concerts. I got to see a lot of other artists and everything. I went to Logic's and everything on break and stuff like that. It was really, really dope. And it's just like, but he had NF opening for him, and NF fans were like, that's what they came there for. A lot of them left early and everything because they just wanted to see NF. And I was speaking to a couple, whatever, that was walking out as, oh, why are you leaving so? I was like, oh, no, we just came to see NF and just support NF. And it was just like,
that's die hard right there. That's insane.
People will literally pull up, even if you're just an opening act and everything. And, you know, like, they're talking about Logic, oh, I didn't want to mess with Logic and stuff, but I really, really like NF. And, like, just like the messages that he pushes out. And I'm not an NF fan. I don't really listen to NF. I feel like I should, like, probably give some time to really, like, listen and see.
I heard he's nice.
Yeah, he's really, really dope from what I've heard. But it's, like, it's really just how his fans really, like, love him. Like, that's what's really carrying him now. And you don't hear about, like, billboards and stuff like that. Even I can even, like, acknowledge that and stuff like that. Like, it's not all about trying to win records and stuff and, like, win awards. It's really just really, like, the impact you have in other people's lives. Like, you know, like, I'm going to Dreamville Fest. This is like the fifth time I've gone to Dreamville Fest.
Damn.
And this is the last time, sadly. But I cannot be able to say, like, I showed up at everyone and everything, you know? And it's just like, it's just knowing, just like, I even took pictures, like, group photos off of group chat and everything. And we're about to do it again this year for the last year. Like, I'm having friends from college pull up too and everything like that. Damn. So it kind of feels like a family reunion to that certain degree. And it's just like, you know, because J. Cole's had such an implication on my life and everything, who was really carrying me through high school and stuff like that. So it's just like, for that, I'm always going to support and everything. Exactly. I just made my last payment to even for my ticket for me and my brother to go and everything. Exactly. He owes me $100 just to cover his half of it. But it's like, it's just stuff like that. I'm willing to do that for five times. And it's like, they had one, the first one before COVID, and they shut down for 2 years, and I still came back for the last four. And everything. So it's just stuff like that. That's where I met Jay Ford at. I don't know if you heard of Jay Ford.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, okay, I met him right there.
I actually hit him up. He was at a competition event that I did for DDA Tink.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She did a competition, and it was basically three rounds. Indigo Joe was there. Leo Legend was there. Huh. Two amazing artists. They ended up being the top two.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, my homie 13 Kitsune. He's a more aggressive artist, a little bit underground. And yeah, Jay Ford was there, and he was one of the openers. And I was like, whoa, this dude is like, he's got the style. This was before that, like, I really started going really heavy into the boom bap. I was like, this dude, I guess I do kind of get inspired from that, from artists like him, where it's like,
they're doing
it and making it work. So I'm like, I can do that. Like, and I hit him up when I released my EP. And I was like, yo, like, if you get a chance, just listen to it. You know, you don't gotta, you know, tell me a whole paragraph, just listen, at least listen to
it. See how you feeling about it.
And then he hit me up like a week later or something like that. And he was like, yo, send me a link. I'm going to be driving around, send me a link. I sent him a link, And then he gets back to me, I think, another week or 2 weeks later. Mm. And he gave me really constructive criticism. Yeah. He did send me a paragraph. Like, he really took his time.
Did not listen to all that shit I said. No promise.
Yeah, no. I wasn't necessarily, like, being like, don't do that. But I was just like, you don't have to.
You don't have to. But he still did it.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, he's dope. And that's really sort of what you were saying about mm-hmm. building a rapport. Like, yeah. that's really all this shit is. It's this advertisement and building connections. So mm-hmm. when people listen to my music,
yeah,
or if people meet me on the street,
yes.
I want them to get the same image of me, regardless. Yeah. It's always going to be me, so yeah. you're always going to know me.
Yeah, for sure, so, man. No, yeah. for real. And I had Jay Ford on the podcast, finally. When I got him, I was so great and everything. And it's just stuff like that. It's just like, you know, you see, like, how far, like, we've come. Like, I literally met him at a Dreamville Fest through a group chat. That's when I first heard his music. Yeah. I'm like, man, this guy is dope. Because we were just putting out, like, our songs and everything. My song, it was all right. Everything. His song was like, yo, this is, like, some real, like, how you not blowing up yet type stuff. So it's like, since then, we've been cool and everything. I see him, like, at the Charlotte Spark from time to time. And then I see him, like, I all the Dreamvilles and everything. I'll just get a picture with him type stuff, you know, and stuff like that. And it's just like we're really growing into ourselves as, like, individuals. Now we'll look back at this stuff like 10 years from now, like, man, where were you on my podcast? Exactly. Like, oh, now look where it's at now.
Exactly.
So it's just like, that's why I like really tapping in with, like, you know, other artists and people from Charlotte, because we have so much we have to prove. But at the same time, we're having fun just with the growing process, and we're actually, like, supporting each other and everything. So it's like, that's one thing I really appreciate from this music scene so far and everything. So it's like, you know, in closing, because we only got like 5 minutes left and everything. Yeah. And this is a dope episode. Just
hell
you know.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And just in closing, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Where does Mental see himself in 5 years?
So I see myself around a community of people who acknowledge that I am my authentic self. Mm-hmm. I see myself around people who are like-minded mm-hmm. and have the same attitude that I do. You know, I don't necessarily see myself in a certain position. I definitely do see myself sort of, I want to have, I guess in 5 years from now, I want to have maybe 2 albums out. I'm not trying to crank them out like a lot of local artists are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to curate it, and I want to take my time, and I want to be able to build a fan base before I put so much out there. But I really just see myself loving life more mm-hmm. and being able to share that with the people around me, because I do have a very limited circle. And a lot of that is because of the stuff that I've gone through.
Yeah.
I mean, when you cut off your whole family, like, you know, you learn that you have to be very selective with the people that you let into your energy.
That's true.
And I guess in 5 years, I just see myself being able to be my authentic self without, and people actually fuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just see myself as a whole different being. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be in a place that I never thought I'd be.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that be financially, whether that be publicly, whether that be, you know, mentally, whatever it may be, it's just I'm always going to stop growing, and I'm never going to stop doing what I'm doing. So mm-hmm. Definitely a lot more versatility in music because, like I said, I do have a lot of versatility in my upbringing whenever it comes to art. And definitely a lot of merch. I want to finalize sort of my pages and stuff. And I got like 14 cents from DistroKid.
Oh, word.
And I was like, hey, that's 14 what I'm saying. Cents. That's what I'm saying. And a lot of people are like, okay, like, I just did a show for like $100. And I'm like, you know, it's really just the meaning behind it. And even if I make 14 cents, you know, 5 years from now, I'm going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep spreading the good word.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, you'll definitely grow for sure, because, like, literally, like, I was impressed just listening off just a couple songs off, like, you know, an EP and everything. And it's just like, just knowing that you're still making those strides to actually be different in a world where everybody wants to hear the same damn thing.
Yep.
That's what's going to carry you a lot further and everything. So it's just like, I really appreciate you for that. I appreciate you for hopping on the podcast, and I appreciate leaving South Carolina, York, for us to meet here in Charlotte and everything. I look forward to seeing you out there as well. Maybe catch a show in the future, most definitely.
Please do.
I'll do my due diligence. I just hope you subscribe.
I'm going to.
And everything. And I just want to say thank you for hopping on for the Mental Threats podcast. Mental. Thank you very much.
Man. Thank you for having me.
We're sewing in and we're sewing out. Yes.
Hell yeah, man.
All right.
Woo! Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. So how you feel about the whole interview process?